Dateline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the week in the economy at the White House. We'll speak with Washington Times White House correspondent Christina Bellantoni as the Obama team continues to defend the stimulus package, even though it considers asking for another. We'll also hear why he signed the omnibus bill, even though he hated most of the earmarks. And we'll find out the White House reaction to many economists giving the administration an F through the first 7 weeks of this administration. Also in this edition, the real progress with stem cells. It's through adult stem cells, and we'll find out why when we're joined by adult stem cell pioneer Dr. Christian DePoe. Plus, North Korea's endgame. We'll explain why the North Koreans are saber-rattling once again as they prepare for another missile launch. We'll be joined by Bruce Klingner, a CIA veteran, and now a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And help me, Honda. The Capital Steps take a close look at the financial woes of the auto industry. All that, plus our top news at week's end, is straight ahead. We begin with Obama and the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Christina Bellantoni, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. We want to get her impressions on how this past week was for the White House as President Obama talked about, once again, the stimulus plan, signed an omnibus spending bill while also slamming the earmarks contained within, and, of course, he reversed President Bush's policy on embryonic stem cell research. And, Christina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the economy. And once again, we're at the point where the president needs to explain where we are in terms of the depth of this economic downturn at the same time while trying to provide hope. How's he done this week on the balance between being realistic and also seeing a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, every single day they do kind of a steady drip of news from the stimulus plan to try and showcase good news in the states, things that show that jobs are being created, because in the face of job losses, this is a way for them to say, but look, here's what we've done that will make it improve. So that's kind of what he took. He took those bad job numbers we got at the end of last week and mentions them every day, but then also makes a point to show confidence in his Treasury Secretary, who has been getting hit in the press a little bit, but he's appeared with the president, and the president has made a point to just say the Treasury Secretary has this under control. So I think that you're going to continue to hear that, and they're also really pushing the transparency and accountability element of the stimulus plan to be able to say, we're not going to be buying any swimming pools in the states for this. You know, we're actually going to be doing construction projects and infrastructure projects to create jobs.
What's been the reaction to the transparency so far? Is it too soon to tell just how well that oversight is working, or do we know just how much detail we're seeing on the projects that have already seen the money arrive?
Well, one thing that's pretty interesting with this, we actually had New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin in our newsroom earlier this week for an exclusive interview, and he was saying that the actual process for applying for the stimulus funds is fairly confusing because it crosses so many departments. You may need to apply through transportation and through energy, or you may need to apply through HUD and another agency. So they're really trying to make it as clear as possible how you actually do this, and in a lot of cases, it's a competitive grant. You actually have to show why you need it, give a detailed outline for how many jobs it would create. And they had this accountability summit 2 days ago where they took a look at exactly how they will track how many jobs are created, because that's something that they want to be able to show that it creates as many jobs as they had promised. So it's a little too early to tell the reaction, but I think that the states mainly aren't getting the money yet. And so it's going to take another few months before people have applied, get accepted for the money, and then start actually spending it.
That, of course, the $789 billion stimulus plan, and there's a $3.6 trillion budget blueprint being debated up on Capitol Hill. And now, Christina, the White House not saying too much about stories that House Democrats in particular are beginning to put the parameters in place for a second pretty hefty stimulus plan. Are they generally in favor of something like that and just don't want to say so publicly yet? Or what's their real position there?
That's my instinct. They basically say they won't rule out doing one. And what's really interesting about this is when he first became elected president during the transition, economists were telling, for the most part, the economic advice was that the stimulus plan needed to be $1 trillion. That was, you know, it was kind of a go big or go home proposal, and that really made the Obama folks nervous because that's a really large number. $787 billion is a huge number, but $1 trillion just sounds that much bigger. And so they really wanted to get it under $800. That was something the president made very clear to his advisors. And so I think you're hearing a lot of people say it just wasn't enough. You had them hammered as far as opinion columnists and economists saying that it wasn't big enough. So right now they're kind of reserving the right to that. But the American people, I think, need to see that this works before the president can actually say, yes, we need something different. So that's why they're really pushing this slow stream of good news that's coming from the states.
Is there anything in particular, Christina, that either anyone at the White House is telling you or anyone on Capitol Hill telling you that they think needed to be in that package that wasn't? Or is it just more money injected into the economy?
I think it's just the more money injected. And the one thing that's interesting from a political standpoint and the way that they frame this, there's a lot of congressional Democrats that are a little worried because no matter what happens and how successful the stimulus is or is not, there will be job losses, sustained job losses. So it's a way of framing it to be able to tell the American people, yes, we're going to create jobs, but we're still losing jobs, like, to make sure that people understand it from the actual way that you phrase what it's going to do. It's not like unemployment is going to go away and there will still be pretty big losses and companies are still going to cut jobs, but a lot of the jobs that are created are going to be within the government sector.
Another big story this week, Christina, of course, was the president signing on Wednesday the $410 billion omnibus spending bill to fund the government through September. He did not sign it publicly because of all the earmarks, and he talked about the need for earmark reform. Others say it seemed disingenuous that he would hate a lot of the bill but still sign it. Others say the rest of his agenda is more important to him. What's going on here?
I think they definitely just wanted to get past it. But part of this is you get that passed once. This is the one time where you can say, look, this is the previous administration's fault. We've got new leaders here in Washington, and we're going to change the way this is done. So every year, I mean, we've all been in this town for a while, they always pass a continuing resolution for the money because they never get it done in time. Even with the Democrats in control, when the Republicans were in control, it's always been a problem from the congressional side. So the president needs to be, this is kind of the one time he could take that and say, look, it's their fault, and this is how we're going to do it differently. So we'll see what happens come next October. That's not even that far from now. Will they actually have a budget passed and the appropriations bills passed as well? It's a huge task.
On Thursday, the president addressed the Business Leaders Roundtable and, in addition to defending his stimulus plan, talked about his goals for reforming healthcare and creating green jobs. Starting on the healthcare front, what details are we likely to see in this package the president wants to see later this year?
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether they do it in pieces or all in one bill. You've got Senator Baucus on the Senate side looking at, he's having all these different hearings about the best ways to approach healthcare, and they had this summit at the White House. But I think that there is a lot of support for doing pieces of this at a time. For example, there was some money in the stimulus package for electronic health records saying that that would create jobs. Well, if they fund more of that, then you could actually have piece one in place for cost savings for healthcare. And then perhaps there could be an expansion of that children's healthcare insurance program that the president signed his first 3 weeks in office that President Bush had vetoed. So you could do all these little pieces so that maybe when you get the entire reform effort passed, you don't need to do it all at once. But this is, you know, obviously a huge political issue, and the president always frames everything in the context of the middle class and helping the economy. So he has been criticized for, you know, quote unquote, trying to do too much, but really he's framing everything. And even with the stem cell order that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, that was saying we're going to re-inject science with some money and start getting life-saving cures out there, and that will help the middle class and the economy. He always manages to bring it back to that.
Christina, in terms of his energy agenda, I mentioned the green jobs. There's also the portion in the budget which talks about the cap and trade system. Some of the economists we've been talking to suggest this is going to mean some extremely high utility prices for folks, and that's something Obama has actually admitted in the past. Is he ready for the backlash on that, given the economic conditions right now?
We'll see. I think that it'll be really interesting if it actually passes Congress. And it's less of a political issue and more of a regional issue. I think that you're going to see a lot of resistance from Detroit, which is already having a lot of problems. You're going to see a lot of support for coal, which a lot of people don't support. So it's going to need to be a comprehensive solution in order to get something passed. So there's probably going to have to be some compromises in there. But a lot of the environmental groups just absolutely love the idea. So he does have support from that end.
We're talking with Christina Bellantoni, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. And Christina, as you know, on Thursday, one of the things Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had to deal with was the declaration from a panel of economists assembled by The Wall Street Journal at the administration to this point gets an F on the economy 50 days into the administration. Some say that's way too early, given that it takes time for these policies to work. Others say, look, they're going for a big government approach, and that might not be the best way to go. What are the Obama folks saying about that kind of grade from The Wall Street Journal?
They're not saying a lot of it. I think one of the things that they always kind of get back on is saying, well, we don't pay a lot of attention to how newspaper columnists rate us or how the chattering class in Washington rates us. And the polls do reflect that the American people are incredibly patient with this. And everywhere I go, I was just down in New Orleans for a story, and I had many people tell me, hey, he's only a few months into his administration. We're incredibly patient. We know it's going to take him maybe an entire term to turn this around. And I think generally that's reflected throughout the country. People understand that it's not going to happen overnight, and in part because he's been so consistent saying that in his message. Pretty much every time he speaks in every radio address, he says, it's not going to happen overnight. The road ahead will be hard. And that's something that I think people, he's drilling that message into people's heads, and so then they tell that to the pollsters, and it makes the White House look good.
The last 30 seconds, Christina, and let's finish on stem cells, which you referred to just a moment ago. The Bush administration said that ethics and morality and the creation and destruction of life, and that concern needed to trump potential advancements through stem cell research. The Obama administration obviously coming to a different conclusion. What was his explanation for that?
Basically just said we're restoring science to this administration, which has really been undercut over the last 8 years, and this is a really important life-saving tool. And he said he appreciates and understands the ethical concerns people have or the concerns from a pro-life standpoint, but he said you just can't waste this opportunity here to have life-saving cures for things and to learn more about diseases. And he also cites his own personal experience with his mom's own battle with cancer and talks about that being necessary. But another thing that's interesting with this is he signed an executive order here overturning that Bush decision. They could have passed it through Congress. This actually passed through a Republican Congress first in 2006 and then again in the Democratic Congress in 2007. They had the votes. I'm not entirely sure why the White House chose to have him do the executive order instead of going through the regular process.
Good question. Maybe we'll hear more about that as the days go by. Christina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Christina Bellantoni, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. This is Dateline Washington.